I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I send you greetings from Battle BP Church in Melbourne. And it is a blessing that I'm able to come and to minister the Word of God. And special thanks to Elder John and the session for this invitation. The text that I've chosen this evening is from Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. If you have your Bibles, please let us read in one accord. Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us first look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for the return of another Lord's Day, how we are able to come to church to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. We come because thou hast appointed us to be here this evening, not by chance, nor coincidence, but by thy appointment. We ask that thou would forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we look into thy word, we acknowledge that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May thy word be the foundation of our lives, and help us not just to hear thy word, but to apply thy word into our lives. Through the empowerment of thy Spirit, grant to me the words to speak. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this world we live in, life is filled with unpredictable events. There will always be challenges, unexpected issues. When things are smooth, it is very easy for us to say God is leading us, God is in control, God is preserving us moment by moment. But when things are not good or adverse situations come our ways, we are faced with difficulties even in our family lives, in our marriages, in our relationships. Then we begin to wonder, is God really in control of all things? Is God able to help me in this situation today? The Bible is the Word of God. And when we open the sacred pages of the Word of God, we are ministered in so many different ways. When we humble ourselves and look to God's Word, we are made conscious of our sins. We are humbled. When we are troubled, we look to God's word and we see the empowerment of God throughout the ages of how he has ministered to the saints. When we look into God's word, at times we are instructed, rebuilt, and even challenged in ways beyond measures. We are stirred in our hearts. God's word indeed is so powerful. Now here in Romans 3 or in Ephesians 3 verse 20 to 21, it is a doxology. The Bible has many doxologies. Doxology is a short hymn of praise to God. In the book of Psalms, there are many doxologies. This particular doxology is not only an outburst of praise to God, but it is very special because it not only gives honor to God, but it is very comforting as well. It focuses on the ability of God, what God can do for us. But nonetheless, it is not a blank check whereby we just look at this verse and then we think that all things will work in a manner that we would want. But we have to humble ourselves before God, and we have to be filled with the Spirit of God And we have to also allow God to work in our lives. And then God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So there's no situation whereby God cannot use. God is the one who is able. This is the title of our message. He is able. And there are two points in our message in the form of two questions. How much is God able to do? And how must we respond to Him? Verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Unto Him is an acknowledgement of praise that God is able. Only God is able. There's no question in the minds of the believers that God is powerful, God is able, but few Christians has the privilege to enjoy this ability to see God working in their lives. Why? Because they do not take time to consider this Almighty God. If you look at this verse just simply at verse 20, you see a pattern of God's empowerment presented in this verse. The word power, or the word He's able, comes from the Greek word dunamai, where we get the word dynamite, which means power. He's able. He's powerful. Often verse 20 has been known as a pyramid of progression. At the top, you can see, if I can give you an example, He is able. And then followed by, He is able to do. And followed by, He is able to do exceeding abundantly. And then He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And then finally, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think. So you can see how magnificent this verse is. Just simply take time to consider this one verse. There are so many valuable lessons we can learn. The original phrase for exceeding abundantly literally means to be above, far above, super abounding. And that is why the King James Bible translated this phrase as exceeding abundantly, something that is far above, something that is out of abundance. How much is God able to do? The Bible tells us God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Some of us here, we have children. Our children often will come to us and ask for things. They will ask for toys. They will ask to visit interesting places or places of interest. We adults have our asking too, right? We ask for better jobs and opportunities. We ask for better incomes. We ask for many other things. Some of us are praying for life partners. We ask for life partners. We ask for many things that we would need. Throughout the Bible, there's no reproach in the believer making requests to God. We ought to pray. We ought to ask the one who is able to bless. But only when we pray in a hypocritical manner or we pray amiss, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 verse 3, "He asks and receives not, because he asks amiss, that he may consume it upon your lust." So only when we pray in a hypocritical manner or amiss, then we should not. Otherwise, we ought to pray. But often our prayers are very physical, not spiritual. We ask for physical things more than we ask for spiritual things. We ask for security when what we really need is godly courage. We ask for promotion, but when what we really need may be humility. We ask for blessing and prosperity when what we need is a Christ-like sacrifice. We often pray only for material things, physical things, very earthbound, very seldom heavenly bound. God knows what is needful for our souls. God knows what is good for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He allows things to come into our lives that may use His children to touch the lives of others. So He is able to do exceeding above all that we ask. We ask very, very shallow things, but He will give us above what we ask, according to His sovereign will. In 1983, a childless woman named Mary Nelson was working in her garden in St. Louis in the United States. She was praying while she worked in the garden. She prayed to God about the pain of being childless. At the same time, she prayed for the millions of women who could have children but chose to go for abortion. This deep longing for children in her heart caused her to seek God that she may use her life or give her life to children in whatever ways God would lead her. In reality, she was praying that God may bless her with one child or with two children. But 9 months later, Mary established the first pregnancy resource center in St. Louis. And since that time, thousands and thousands of children who could otherwise have been killed in abortions have been spared when their mothers walk into the gates of the pregnancy resource center. She had only prayed to be a mother of one or two, but she has become a mother to thousands, in a sense. Only God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Above. My friends, take a moment and consider your life. Consider your prayer life. Consider your experiences with God. Do you realize that whatever we ask of God, whatever we ask rightly, not amiss, not in a hypocritical manner, but for the glory of God, He always has something bigger, better for us, to the glory of His precious name. More than we ask. Something different from what we ask, what we had anticipated, always. God is also able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think. Not just what we ask, but what we think. You know, there are many things we know it is God's will. We ask with great confidence. There are some things we could only think. Sometimes we even think, will God really answer our prayers? Should we really think about this thing? We make mention of these things in our prayers, sometimes even in a doubtful way. Take a moment and consider what I've said. How often we have just been thinking about those things, whether it be about your family life, your marriage life, about bringing up your children, about parental issues, whatever we think. Thinking in a manner that is far below what the sovereign God has in mind for us. I'd like to consider or bring to your attention two examples in the Bible, and you'll take a look at these two examples. in the persons of Abraham and Moses. Remember Abraham and Moses? Abraham, God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. God said to him, he will make him into a great nation. God will bless them that bless him. God will curse them that curse him. Abraham will receive these blessings at a point whereby Abraham was without a child. His wife was so old. He himself was old. She was barren. What could a great nation be? You know, it's hard to comprehend that the source of blessing to others who come as a result of the work of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are at the situation of Abraham. Abraham did not even have a son. What about the line? But he was given this promise. If you were Abraham, what would you be thinking? Probably you would be thinking that a great nation is probably a big family. I'll have a son and then several sons and children. But indeed, God blessed him with a son named Isaac. And the blessing that God has promised him came to pass. And indeed, out of Abraham came this great nation. And God blessed them that bless him, cursed them that curses him. God's promise. As you look at Abraham's life, what would you say? You would certainly say God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, right? What about Moses? You think of Moses. God called him to go to Pharaoh. He said, I couldn't speak. I stammer. How am I going to speak to Pharaoh? He's so powerful. But God promised him that he will be with him. And God showed him that he was able to work miracles through him, changing his rod into a serpent, turning his hand leprous, and then healing it again. Moses went to see Pharaoh. If you were Moses, would you have anticipated the 10 plagues? Would you have anticipated how God would show all these miracles through the plagues of the frogs, the hails, the locusts, and all this, even the opening of the Red Sea? Would you have considered that? Sending manna from heaven and then leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Would you have anticipated the miracles of the Exodus, the opening of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, the water that came from the rock, and all the other miracles? When you look at the life of Moses and how God has given him the 10 commandments. You study the life of Moses, you look back, you will say, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The same goes with Joshua, goes with King David, Ezra, Nehemiah, the apostles, Peter, Paul, John, and all the saints that we have read and studied the lives, including you and me. Including you and me. When we think about our life's experiences with God, indeed God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Life may not go exactly as what we ask and what we think, but most certainly exceeding abundantly above. Because it is God's sovereign will and He's all powerful. By way of testimony, some of you may not know me, but before I went to Melbourne, I was working or serving in the drug ministry. I was working in the prison ministry. When God first called me, I had this burden for the ex-offenders. And the one thing I asked of God is a prison pass, that I may enter into prison to share the gospel with the criminals. That was my desire. That was my burden. You know, God gave me not one prison pass. He allowed me to enter into all the prisons in Singapore, except the women's prison, of course. But I was able to enter into the other prisons. In those days, you had prison all over Singapore. I was able to enter and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. He enabled me to establish a ministry to the drug addicts. You know, as I look back, I would have thought that my life would be just within the four walls of the prison cell or prison ministry. I would always be serving among the ex-offenders. 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, I would probably still be visiting Changi Prison week after week. But God's empowerment, His blessings, is far beyond what I ask, what I can even think. To cut the whole story short, today I'm serving the Lord in Melbourne. I would have never thought I'll be there serving God in a foreign country. Never. What I asked was just a prison pass. And God led me. As I look back upon my life, I could only say, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I would ask or think. What about you, my friend? Think about your life. Look at your children. Look at your moms, your dads. Look at how God has led you. Are you able to say the same thing? If you have always been prayerful, you have always been seeking God, asking God, your life goes up and down these prayer scales. Do you realize? When you are very troubled, you cry out to God. When you are up, you have this spiritual heightening, you are still looking to God, giving praises to Him. Your life goes up and down, and you see God's hand working, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our wonderful God. Some of us here may be thinking that it cannot be possibly applying to me. Maybe to the full-time servants, maybe to Elder John, maybe to Preacher Clement, maybe to pastors. But to me, probably not. Well, Paul would not leave rooms for this kind of thinking. He showed us that the power of God, which is able to do this thing, is the same power that already is at work in all of God's children. The last part of verse 20 says, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you are not indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Every one of us who is a believer, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It is this power that worketh in us, not our own strength, not our own intellect, not our own ability, not our human wisdom, but the power which worketh in us. Jesus Himself said to His disciples in Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. to the disciples, he said, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Remember Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit said the Lord of hosts." That is our God. So knowing that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and above all that we think, how should we respond? And this is our second point. It's a most wonderful assurance, but how should we respond? Verse 21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." If glory must go to him, it must go to him, because the power comes from him. God is the one who empowers us, then we must give glory to him. Glory is due to God in the church, because he has chosen the church, the body of believers, as the instrument of his purposes on this earth. We are going to the camp. We are going to learn about Christ being the head of the church. What is our responsibilities as believers? God is using the church. Through the church, the gospel message is preached. Through the church, the believers are being discipled, encouraged, edified. Through the church, the people of God are being nurtured, equipped to serve him. You know, whatever has been accomplished by Tabernacle BP Church, we must acknowledge that it is by God's hand. I was asking Elder John just now, how old is Tabernacle? He said, 28 years. 28 years. It's a long time. How has God sustained this church? How has God provided preachers after preachers, week after week, servants of God coming to share the word, people being encouraged, children growing up, getting married, having their own families? How was this church sustained through all these years? Glory must go to God, because it is God who has empowered us. Think about all the mission work. I'm not so familiar with the mission work in this church, but I've heard that you have mission work in Nepal. You have done mission work in Cebu, Malaysia. You have several mission trips to Kamaman. All these are by God's grace and mercy, through the empowerment of the Spirit of God. Not by our own strength, but by the Almighty God. Glory must go to him. We must not rob God of his glory. Always give glory to God. Just as John the Baptist, remember, he said, "He must increase, I must decrease." Christ must increase. As a church, we may serve in different areas of ministries. Some of us here may be ushers. Some of us here may be serving in the Sunday school. Others may have the gift of preaching. Others may be serving in the youth fellowship, in refreshments. As the Lord has gifted us, we serve in those areas. But we do not glorify ourselves. We acknowledge him. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Glory must go to him. The church is made up of the body of believers, you and me. You know, in the past, we used to walk according to the course of this world. We used to walk in accordance to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. We were under the wrath of God. We were children of darkness. But God, by his grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ, he saved us. He has transported us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Today we are sitting here worshiping God. Today we are sitting here serving God. How can we not glorify Him? When you see your children sitting beside you and then singing the hymns of praises, how can you not give glory to God? Unto Him be glory. Unto Him. Indeed, it is true. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that we are able to come together to worship this one living and true God. Through the forgiveness of sin, we are able to sit here this afternoon. We call ourselves Christians. We represent Him on this earth. His glory is reflected through our lives. We must give glory to Him, not dishonor Him. Use this physical body that God has blessed us with the strength, with our youth, and glorify Him. You know, my friends, it is very easy for us to give thanks to God when everything is smooth, right? We sit here and we say, glory goes to Him. But when we receive negative reports for our medical condition, immediately we are affected. When we have issues in our marriages, in our families, then we are saddened. We are troubled. But do you know something? Our giving glory to God cannot be based on the circumstances of life. It cannot be based on just prosperity, blessings, and then when adversities come, we say we cannot give glory to God. We give glory to God because He has strengthened us. God promised us, my grace is sufficient for thee. Even in adversities, God's grace is sufficient for us. He is able. And He's always able because He's sovereignly in control. That is our Almighty God. We give glory to God forever and ever. There will never come a moment in our lives whereby we say we have given enough glory to God. Never be sufficient. Never. All glory and honor is due unto Him. And this is how God has worked in our lives. This is how we should honor Him. You know, I like to say this. When I was a young Christian, there's one service I always love to attend. And that is a Thanksgiving service. I'm always very amazed whenever it comes to Thanksgiving service. At every watch night service, we have this Thanksgiving time, whereby people will come up and give testimonies. As a Christian, very young, I was amazed how a couple would come up and then they would give thanks to God, how doctors had repeatedly told them that you can never have a child, and then God blessed them with a child, and they say, glory and honor to God. Praise be to His name. And then another couple will come up. They could have just lost their child or had the fourth miscarriage. And yet they say, by God's grace, He has sustained us. He has given us the strength to go through this trial. His grace is sufficient for us. And then another person will come up. And this could be a lady who has just lost her husband. And she says, glory be unto His name. As a young Christian sitting there, I'll be wondering, just like those in the world, perhaps they will say, doesn't make earthly sense, right? This one was blessed with a child, give thanks to God. This one lost her husband, give thanks to God for His grace and mercy. Another one who has just had a fourth miscarriage, yet glory goes to God. Indeed, if we look at things with our humanistic mind, it doesn't make earthly sense. But it makes heavenly sense. It is not through our wisdom, not through our humanistic minds, but it is by the Almighty God's strength. He is able. In whatever situations of life, He is able. That is our God. I do not know what testimonies you have. You may have gone through some very difficult times. But God is merciful to you, right? You may have enjoyed victories after victories. Again, God is merciful to you. You know, we should look at God's empowerment, His grace and His mercy, not by our human eyes. Because we always think that we shall be happy when we see the perfect sunset. We always think that we would be happy when we meet the right person. We will be happy when we get the right job. When we are relieved of sicknesses and illnesses that troubles us, but God sees beyond the sunset. You know, our Almighty God sees beyond the heart, beyond the afflictions. He knows those things that will distract us from loving Him, from serving Him, from depending on Him. And He allowed those things to come into our lives, for all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So my friends, whatever trials you may be going through, whatever difficulties you may be going through, let this verse sink into your heart and into your life. How much is our God able to do for you and for me? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. And if He truly is able to do all things in our lives to the glory of His name, then all glory goes to Him. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, this should always be on our lips. This should always be the life of the church. This doxology should always be our praises to God. Not just when pastors come up and give the benediction, but always to be lived out in our lives. Our God is able. He's powerful. He knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what is good for His children. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He allows things to happen, not by chance, nor coincidence, but by His appointment. So may the Lord continue to teach us, and that we may apply His word into our lives. Let us pray. Father in heaven, indeed, our God is able. The Almighty God who knoweth all things, who knoweth us better than we know ourselves, who loves us with an everlasting love. We are unworthy of Thee, but Thou who has called us to be Thy children has done this mighty work in our lives. Thou hast illumined our minds, even as we read the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast convicted our hearts through the Spirit of God. And as we consider our experiences with the Almighty God, what can we say? But He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we want to glorify Thee, not dishonor Thee, through our speech, through our thoughts, through our deeds. We want to honor the one living and true God. Bless this church, Tabernacle BP Church. that this will be a church that will glorify the one living and true God. And we give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.